Hi, everybody. Thank you for your support as always. The NARCCon podcast is now offering a membership only subscription of the price of a cup of coffee per month for all new and some of the old podcasts going into the membership section. Please join us if you'd like more of this content. We would love to see you there. And to remind you, should you wish to avail of the free content, it is available over on YouTube in both video and podcast form. God bless everyone. Take care, and I hope you enjoy the content that's to come. Hello, everybody, and you're very welcome to our podcast, NARCCon, where we deal with all things in relation to the narcissistic personality disorder in order to understand what we've been through and to be able to heal. So today we're going to cover a very kind subscriber's story of a narcissistic mother. She's kindly shared this story and given permission to read it out. And she also shared a story of a narcissistic relationship a good while back in adult life, because when we have a narcissistic parent, particularly the nurturing parent, the mother who's the kind of female, typical, hopefully nurturer, and we don't feel or attain love from that kind of maternal side, we often seek the love that we didn't get as a child in an intimate relationship, until we understand that we didn't get that love because the person wasn't capable of giving it, not because we weren't worthy of receiving it. And it sets us up in life to feel at home with the narcissistic dynamic, which is an unhealthy position to be in. And not everybody that ends up with narcissists, you know, will have this experience from childhood. But people who do have a narcissistic parent are more likely to become entrapped easier and quicker by a narcissist in adult life. So with that said, sit back and relax and share your experience if you've had one, if you don't mind, if you're able or willing to do that, if this resonates with you at all. And also, I'll just say before I begin, if you want to, I didn't know this before I came on YouTube myself, if you want to be notified of all the podcasts that we do or another channel does, that you've clicked the notification bell, you won't be notified unless you actually interact with the podcast, like do a like, a share, or make a comment, even if it's just to say, hi, I'm here. Then the algorithm sends you the notifications of, you know, the channel that you're frequenting most. That's what I found, if that's any help. I didn't know that when I started off as a viewer on YouTube. So if you want to receive the podcast that we do on a twice weekly basis, usually just say hi or thanks or hello or goodbye or whatever you want to say would be great. Thanks for your support. Okay, I'm going to read the story now. Hi Paula, I mentioned I would write about experiences of my narcissistic mother. My previous story touched on this in your podcast, how a narcissist tried to totally destroy me. This person, I just tell you, this person succeeded in overcoming a horrible narcissist who was extremely destructive and extremely hell-bent on destroying her as an intimate partner in her adult life after this. And this person has come out on top and has a good career and a loving family at this point. So it's a good ending. Not all stories end so well, particularly after what you've been through. This is horrendous what I'm going to read out. As children, we were taught, or rather it was drummed into us, to respect our elders, to mind our manners, to speak when we were spoken to, and children were seen and never heard. Familiar phrasings. It kind of has changed a bit, but that's the way it was back then. We are also all innocent, taught values from day one, and taught right from wrong from an early age. We are blank pieces of paper with no direction, no map, and our beginnings are influenced by those around us. Children were seen and not heard, and any allegations of child abuse was not taken seriously and believed many years ago. No, it wasn't. And there was a kind of an unspoken thing amongst people that you don't interfere in another person's family or how they raise their children. That's the way it was. Thankfully, I only had one narcissistic parent. And I'm just going to interject here and say that is good because you were shown a different point of view. But with what you went through, and I read your email there, with what you went through, the good parent, in inverted commas, for want of a better term, really should have protected you more from this individual and not just gone along with it. But I know your dad probably did what was done in those times and let the woman look after the children. So different times, narcissists get away with different things in different generations. My father was a loving, hardworking man with values and morals and had been brought up in a happy family environment. He was a pacifist. My mother had always resented her upbringing, reminded us of her hard life and hated her eldest sister. She continually lived in the past and told everyone about her young life as an evacuee and her harsh and poor life at home with stepbrothers and a mother she resented. She left home at an early age and went into nursing, purely because of the live-in accommodation that went with the training, and met my father shortly after qualifying as an SRN, State Registered Nurse. She married following a short courtship and I came along a year or so later. My mother told my grandmother a few days after I'd been born to keep me as she didn't want me. She really did have, you know, serious psychological issues, this woman, from the very get-go. I am the eldest of five and was around eight when I discovered my mother was very different. She was bossy and controlling and always insisted on getting her own way. It took some years before discovering just how manipulative and scheming she was. My siblings also caught on to her deception around the same age. It had taken many years for me to realise I actually had a grandmother. I'd been led to believe she had passed away. In reality, my grandmother had been subject to a major fallout which had lasted years and hadn't known of her five grandchildren. Narcissists love to punish their parents by using their children as tools or weapons. You know, they weaponize their children so they don't have any relationship with the grandparents. Everyone in the wider family had been subjected to her tears and tantrums, her deception and evilness, and there would be years of silence with whoever she had chosen to discard. She seemed happiest when she was at loggerheads with someone. My father was also told to share the silence. This is where I have a problem with the parent who parents with the narcissist who goes along with the narcissist's agenda. That's nearly, in my opinion, as bad as what the narcissist does, because it's validating to the children in some ways that they deserve what they're getting from the narcissistic parent. It's a very codependent relationship that dastardly narcissist and the loving parent. We walked on eggshells, tripping over ourselves to meet her needs, her demands, and her attention-seeking syndrome, as I called it, ruined all family events. She had never been a warm person, and any affection was false. Whenever she did show a side of love and compassion, it was aimed at other kids and their families. She would constantly talk about how her wonderful many friends and put them before her own family. On one occasion, she put framed prints of these children on the mantelpiece and put photos of her own away. She would later fall out with her friends and talk about them. It's absolutely unbelievable what this woman got away with. Our house was always immaculate. Everything had its place, and there were never any signs of real family life, despite five youngsters. Our house was a showpiece. The narcissist mask is often the presentation of the outside to the outside world of a perfect home, a perfect family, and perfectly groomed, you know, narcissists themselves. It's all fake, all a facade, all control orientated and pure orientated to be false, to present a false image and to look proper and to look like you're a good parent and in control and respectable kind of person. And then they do all this stuff behind the scenes. My mother was cold, calculating, manipulative, nasty, two-faced, evil, and wore the narcissistic smirk as her smile. The smirk would appear whenever she got her own way. My mother was a disciplinarian and knew exactly what she was doing. Anyone that says the narcissist is just, you know, going, you know, true to their personality disorder and can't help it, absolute codswallop. They know exactly what they're doing. She also for a while hit the booze and was downing a bottle of martini before we arrived home from school. Her outbursts and tantrums were always worse after one of her sessions. That's the grandiose side of the narcissist coming out, where if life isn't grand enough, they will take to an addiction to lull themselves into a false sense of their grandiosity and how brilliant they are. It takes the edge off the reality of their situation. My father loved his wife and would always take her word and her side. That's just not okay. That's not okay. I know you probably have very good memories of your dad, but allowing it happen to you is complicit with the bad behavior. And bad is not a good enough word for it, but it's YouTube here, so I'm not going overboard. My parents spoke fluent Welsh, which none of us could, so we never knew what was actually being said. As kids, we lived in survival mode and one of us was always in the doghouse and one, the golden child, was singled out and acted as the proverbial prefect, reporting back to her about everything we said and did. The golden child changed regularly and so did the one in the doghouse. I'm guessing everyone knows what in the doghouse means. It's a colloquial expression for, you know, being the bad one, being shamed and being not spoken to, etc., and being punished. In my teenage years, I learned she kept many secrets of her younger days and her upbringing had not been as harsh as she had led us to believe. She painted false pictures to us all and was a liar. I also discovered as the eldest, I was held responsible for everything and was first in line for the physical and mental, I'm going to coin this word for YouTube, bad behaviour that went on for many years. My mother was full of sarcasm with condescending comments and took pleasure in ridiculing me in front of my siblings and friends. She always found fault with everything I did or tried to do. That's to get rid of her feelings of critique of herself. It's extremely difficult to recover from continual criticism because it's a brainwashing technique, in fact, that you have to rewrite the whole story as you get older because you've been constantly in energy that's reflecting to you that you're not good enough. It's really, really awful that this happened to you, and I am so sorry, and I sympathize and have had similar experience. So I do know what you're going through or what you went through. It's awful. My early memories of life at home included being forced fed until sick, forced to wear jumble sail clothes, which didn't fit, while my younger sister was bought the latest fashion, being singled out, ridiculed, criticised, bossed and beaten for no reason. You know, I have a thought here. Your mother actually had a big argument with her eldest sister. I think what she was doing was putting you, as the eldest of the family, in the place of her eldest sister, because that's what narcissists do. They don't want to be in the position they were in as a child. They want to reverse that and put somebody else in the position of whoever they resented as a child. It's a cyclical thing. So if she had a big problem with her elder sister, who was probably telling her not to do certain things, she now is in the position of the elder sister, and you, as the eldest child, have reverted to the elder sister position, but she's in control this time. That's often what they do. It is so mentally disturbed. It's nothing actually about you. It's just your position in the family. You fell into the position that suited her. She singled you out to be in her elder sister position. I hope that's helpful. Analysis might explain a little bit as to why she picked on you in particular. My mother decided I slouched a lot, so she strapped my shoulders with bandages and made my sister walk around with a book on her head for the same reason. Unbelievable. I witnessed cruelty to my younger siblings, and on one occasion she smashed an egg on my brother's head and told him to wash his hair. My sister had sensitive skin and was forced to wear jumpers, which irritated it. My brother was forced to throw his prize marble collection in the bin because he'd forgotten to do one of his chores, and it was common to see finger marks and hand prints on arms and legs. If you go against a narcissist, the punishment, so to speak, or the what would you call it, the what you get back, is way out of proportion to the act itself. So maybe your brother forgot to do one of his chores. She went in for the thing that was most important to your brother, which was way out of proportion to him forgetting to do one of his chores. They will literally, a narcissist goes in to kill and destroy anyone that goes against them or they perceive hasn't done exactly what they wanted the person to do. Retribution. They're always into big retribution. I was frightened and ashamed to tell my friends about my mother and took the brunt for everything as the eldest. When I spoke up for myself, it was the wooden spoon across the legs for insolence. I don't know if that's, you know, that's what used to happen in my day as well. The wooden spoon in the house was the was used for to mete out any punishment that was necessary to children who didn't do what they were told. A smack in the mouth or pulled hair. Very often I had the saucepan across my bum and the ladle handle on one occasion came flying off. During one of her outbursts, I saw her hand coming for the back of my leg. I lifted it and she ended up breaking two fingers on the cupboard. She later told everyone I'd been violent and broken her fingers. Imagine the mother saying that the child had done that and people believing it. On another occasion, when she grabbed me, I raised my hand to defend myself and caught her eye. The black eye was another talking point for anyone who was prepared to listen. My mother branded me uncontrollable, a bad influence, and beyond parental control. At school, I was never allowed to pursue any after-school activities and had been dropped from the netball team I had captained. I was also dropped from school plays and the choir. It had been a huge achievement for me to have been chosen from a select few to play the violin in the orchestra when I was 9, but this was also stopped. My mother also controlled our friends, and we could only mix with those she approved of. This is literally the narcissist not allowing any individuation or self-actualization and using her children as if she owns them as tools for her own satisfaction and gratification. It was an unbelievable situation to have lived in, and my father knew very little of what went on. Okay, your father was out then a lot, so he didn't know the full story, but I'm quite sure he knew enough of it. Then again, narcissists are extremely good, particularly in those days when the other parent may have been out working all the time, of spinning a yarn and, you know, making things go into their favour, changing the narrative of what actually happened. So we will have to give him some leeway. Home life was not known to any outsider and too embarrassing and unbelievable to discuss. At the age of 11, and after being hit with another round of saucepans, I flipped. I couldn't take it any longer and ran away. This was the first cry for help, which brought in social services. It was downhill from then on, and I'd been accused of lying and bringing the family name into disrepute. And all signs of anything but a happy and loving family environment had not been disclosed. By the time I had reached 15, I had absconded over 6 times, and after several short stays in children's homes, was taken into care 200 miles away. My mother had insisted to services she didn't want me to be around my siblings, telling them I was a bad influence. Contact had been lost during my care years. My mother had invented stories and painted an unbelievable picture of her eldest daughter to teachers and social service officials, which they preferred to believe. Isn't that absolutely awful? That they thought it was you that was the problem and didn't closely look at what was going on in the home. She must have been very good at convincing people that she was, you know, okay and she was in the right, and thus kept the house, you know, very neat and tidy, didn't seem to have any issues. So you seemed to be the issue, and she was able to convince people of that. My mother had also told my young sister I had run off with a coloured man when I was taken into care. My sister feared coloured people, and this story unfolded many years later. So she also was very prejudiced and trying to turn the children into people who were prejudiced. It's really bad. She also told friends and family I was beyond parental control and described me as the bad one. My siblings were not aware of the truth until many years later. My schoolwork had been at rock bottom low with all the disruption, and my move into care surrounded by a new environment, new guardians and a fresh start began one Christmas. I was also due to start a new school. My mother continued with her evil ways despite the distance, and when I often rang home using all my 65 pence pocket money, she would keep me waiting until my money had run out. This is so sad. For a time, she arranged my brother to answer the phone when she knew I was most likely to call and wouldn't come to the phone. Years of rejection followed with no birthday or Christmas cards. That rejection ate into my adult life, and I became a people pleaser without really understanding why. I was also insecure. I was also very careful in whatever I said and did, making sure I never upset anyone. My guardians were angels as well as professionals and supported me 100% with my education, sporting and musical activities. I didn't know how it had been possible to pass all my mock exams, but I did, when I started my new school. I was back reading music and in a new school orchestra. I was a librarian and picked up my skills in the netball team and represented the school on a number of sporting events, and I was always in the top three academically. My guardians also encouraged me to continue with my education, which I did until the sixth form, and this gave me a better start with my working world. Imagine what you could have done with a mother who wasn't a narcissist. My life had turned around for the better, which began with a youngster finding, through fear, the courage to run away and speak up. I had also broken the mould my mother desperately fought to create. With the help and support of my lovely guardians, I began to see true, genuine love and affection. I was appreciated, valued, respected, and had been given fresh chances and opportunities. I had endless hours of guided therapy from my guardians, and this helped in my teenage years to overcome some of the psychological abuse suffered. My care order lasted until I was 18, and I had 3 years of living in a safe, stable and happy environment, which brought about many changes in myself. My siblings all left home when they were around 16 and 17 years old, and one by one tracked me down. The reunions were all emotional, and we shared stories of those early years of really bad behaviour, in inverted commas, and rejection, and their own experiences until they left home. It was obvious that severe scars still remained with my four siblings. My sister and myself met our first boyfriends at a young age, and without realising, until after we had married, they were both bullies and narcissists. The resemblance between them was uncanny. Thankfully, we realised and are now divorced. My personal story of my marriage and the aftermath has already been narrated by yourself in the podcast, How a Narcissist Tried to Destroy Me, to Totally Destroy Me. I'll try and link that with this story as an end, you know, a continuing video, so you can hear what happened after this childhood. My father had been married to his narcissistic wife for over 50 years and had suffered more than we all realised. Despite making plans for a new life for himself, he became unwell and sadly passed away. Okay, so he did finally realise what was going on. I saw my father in his final days. His parting words were regretful and emotional. Mother retained all her traits until she passed 20 years later. She was alone in herself and had been for many years, with no friends and only fleeting family visits. No tears were shed on her final journey from anyone, and for me, this was complete closure. Thankfully, not one of us carry any of her traits, and my mother taught us how not to be a parent. And my own son, nieces and nephews have all grown into warm, likeable, independent individuals who had been given the best possible starts in life in a happy, loving, carefree environment. And then disclosure that you give me permission to disclose this personal story of my narcissistic mother to members. I hope you will find this true story to be of interest. Thank you very, very much for sharing that. I am sure it was of a lot of interest to people. I'm sure it resonated with some and may free people up, you know, to acknowledge their own childhoods and to take a look at what happened and to forgive ourselves for not being good enough, but for, I suppose, allowing it to affect us in later life where we were directed more towards narcissistic people, thinking that that was what love was, and indeed it was not. That's it for now from myself and Remy. We will say adieu and see you again very soon. Bye for now.